All right, good morning, everyone. It's good to be in church with you this morning. As Pastor Mark said, it's nice that it's not as smoky. It doesn't feel like I'm just in a fog wherever I go. So it's good to be in church with you this morning, even though it is nicer weather outside. Good decision to be in church. Good choice. Good choice. It is week two of our Belonging to the Body fall series. It's kind of like our kickoff series where we're looking at different ministries within the church. And so last week, Pastor Carrie Lee talked about our kids ministry and how you can be involved in that and the importance of that. And this week, I am talking about our youth ministry and the importance and the value and how you can be involved in those areas. And I think this is a perfect name for this series as we look at and highlight these different ministries, because every ministry and every person, every part of the church is part of the body. And they may all function in different ways, but the goal and the target is the same. So I think the idea of belonging to the body is so awesome, because whether you're a kid or a teenager, young adult, senior, you're all a part and all belong to the body. So I've been the youth pastor here at West Friends for almost 9 years, which is pretty wild when I think about that, because there's students who are in youth now who, like, were in VBS, the kids' church and stuff. There's kids who are in youth who are now leaders, and so that's one of the most amazing things about being in a place for a while, is you get to see those transitions and get to see kids become teenagers, become young adults, and see how they're serving and involved and connected and faithfully serving the church in so many areas. And I have to say that one of the most amazing things about our church is how faithfully you support and invest in the next generation. I have to say it's pretty special, especially from people who they don't have a kid in youth ministry. Right? They maybe never had one in youth ministry. They may never have one a part of the youth group. But you believe and invest in the next generation because you see the value in it, which I think is amazing to see. And so if you are a parent of a teenager who comes to the church here, you should know that you are a part of a body of people who believe in your students and who invest in your students and who want to see your students do well and grow in their faith. And so thank you for always believing in the youth ministry and always supporting and always encouraging. I've never, ever had to question that. And so thank you so much for that. It's been a pretty interesting year for everyone with the global pandemic and all this sort of stuff. You've all heard about it, but I thought I'd give you a little kind of it's been no different with youth. It's been different. It's been a bit of a challenge. But I thought I'd give you kind of an overview of kind of what youth has looked like, and then what youth is going to look like for the fall, just so you're kind of in the know and you feel like you know what's kind of happening. And so when everything shut down, we were online. And we were doing Zoom calls, which was interesting for a lot of reasons. One, because some students struggled with their technology and they'd have their phone and it was like cutting in and out. And so that was a challenge. Some people, when you're in person, I have a lot more control over, like, hey, like, get off your phone or stop doing that or, you know, stop talking. But when they're sitting at home in their room, like, I have no control. So there were some times where, like, the person's phone that they're using to call is, like, just down like this. And then all you see is, like, their chin as they play video games. And then, like, what am I going to do? Like, stop it. I'm going to come over. Like, no, that's, you know. So that was that. But it was good. You know, we did what we could. That was the reality of the situation. For the summertime, we had some outdoor events. On, like, every other Friday, we'd meet into something outside. Weather did not cooperate with us very much. We had 4 Friday night events, and 3 of them there was rain. And then it seemed like every Friday we didn't have youth was really nice weather, so I don't know what the deal was with that. And then now we are back in person, and I thought I'd highlight kind of what youth is looking like right now, if you were curious. And so maybe you've heard myself or Pastor Lise or Pastor Mark in announcements talk about youth squads. So that's what we're doing right now for youth. Instead of all meeting together in one spot, like downstairs like we normally would, we're doing squads where we have 4 different squads or groups. It's about a group of about 10 people with students and leaders running each squad, where they would enter the building in a different entrance They'd have the same protocols with temperature checks and sanitizing, and then they would go to their room that they would have their squad in. We do a squad challenge each week because we're keeping track of points for the semester, and the winning squad's going to get some cool giveaways and prizes and stuff. This past week for our squad challenge, they had to film a commercial of a random item, and it was really funny, I have to say. There were some really good ones. And then we watch our squad teaching series that myself and our intern Caleb made. It's a video called You Won't, and it's looking at different statements that are true about God, and they watch that, and then they break and have discussion with their leader in their squad, and then at the end of that, they have some prayer, and then they go home. And so it's different, but it's been going really, really smooth. And I have to say, right off the top, like right now, like with everything, it's a lot of trial and error. And so youth ministry has been no different. I have a lot of youth pastor friends, and there was no class when we were in college on like how to pastor in a pandemic. That was not one of the options available to us. And so there's a lot of like, hey, what are you doing right now? What's worked for you? Like, what are you trying? Like, what's, you know? And so I've told my youth pastor friends, this is what we're doing with the squads and the leaders and that sort of thing. And pretty much every single one has said the same thing. That sounds awesome. I don't think we have the leaders that we could make that happen. And so we have some incredible, incredible leaders who are a part and make that possible that run the squads. Because I'm not even in a squad, so I'm kind of floating throughout the night making sure everything's okay, there's no issues. But our leaders run the squads, so they run the discussion, they run the challenge that we're doing, they do the prayer time, they do it all. And so they're amazing, amazing leaders that we are very, very blessed to have. And that's why we can make this possible, because I have full confidence in their abilities and who they are, and so we're very, very lucky to have that. But I thought that it would be cool to show you a little teaser of what those video teaching series look like. And so I'm going to show you a little clip of our intro and then a little bit of one just so you got a kind of idea of what it looks like. And so here it is.
You won't.
I don't know if you can see the date. It says June. And I filmed this like 2 weeks ago. So it's pretty expired.
You won't.
We all know when someone says you won't, what they really mean is they don't think you can or will do something. It's a challenge.
Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at some challenges that not only challenge the way you look at yourself, at God, but also at life as a whole.
So our series is called You Won't. That's kind of like a statement a lot of teenagers would use. It's kind of like a challenge, like we were saying in the video there. And so someone would say like, hey, do this, you won't. It's kind of like a the challenging them, and then the student will say back like, yeah, you right, I won't, or they would be like, I will. And so that's kind of the angle that we're looking at, and they're looking at different statements. So you saw the first one was, you won't be alone. This past week, we just did, you won't be judged, and so we're looking at different statements that kind of fit in with that. And so it's been really, really good, and only possible because of our amazing leaders. And so I'm thinking about this morning about, okay, how do I want to take this? What angle do I want to come from here? And I thought that it would be a good thing to look at this idea of this question. How can you invest in the next generation? How can you invest in the next generation? Because the reality is, for most of you, you're probably not going to be a youth leader. You're not going to be there on a Friday night. Maybe the thought of, you know, spending a weekend with maybe some smelly teenagers is like the worst thing in the world to you. You're not going to be at a retreat or anything like that. But that doesn't mean that you can't have an impact and invest in the next generation. Maybe you won't directly impact them, but you can still have a great impact indirectly. And so we're going to look at three ways. The first two I'm going to go over pretty quickly, and the last one I'll look at more in depth on how you can still invest in the next generation without directly being involved with them. So the first is this: prayer. This may seem like a really, you know, off-the-cuff, easy, kind of cliche thing. Yeah, pray for us, great. But now more than ever, our students need your prayers. Our students are dealing with things, especially during the pandemic, that we would never even imagine or have to even thought about when we were their age. And so they need your prayers. You may not know what they are going through. You may not know those issues. You may not know their struggles. You may not know their names. But you can still pray for them. If you don't know what to pray, you can pray for them to be safe at school. You can pray that they find good influences and good friends at school. You can pray that maybe they're not getting bullied or they're not being made fun of at school. You can pray that that they have the boldness to talk to their friends and invite their friends to youth and talk to them about Jesus. You can pray that they would, if they're far from God right now, that they would have some sort of way that they can come back and experience God in a new way. You can pray for so many different things in regards to their life. And you may not know about those things or about those experiences, but I know that, and I promise that they need your prayers. They may not even know it, but they do. You can also pray for myself and our leaders as we're navigating a whole new way of doing youth. You can pray for our leaders as they're talking to our students in their squad groups about real life issues that they're struggling with and some of the things that students are dealing with. Like it would shock you and break your heart. So you can pray for us as we navigate that. And you may never know if those prayers are answered. You may never know how those prayers get answered. But I know one thing, that the more people praying, the better. You may not even know the students. You may not even see them. But I would covet and they would covet your prayers. Number two is support. You can invest in the next generation by supporting them. And as I said from the start, I'm always blown away at the support that our youth ministry receives from people in the church. Like I'm always, always blown away. At fundraisers, people staying and donating, and people who don't even have kids in the youth ministry will still say, yeah, this is a great thing. I want to be a part of it. And you're excited about it. That's what really, really like is amazing to me. Is it's not like you're like, okay, yeah, it's the good Christian thing to do. I guess I should support the kids. You're like excited about it and you want to see, hey, how'd the fundraiser do? Oh, that's so great. That's so awesome. Like that's pretty special and pretty amazing. And there's even people who, if they can't stay for a soup lunch or for a barbecue or whatever, they'll come by and say, hey, I can't stay, but like I want to support you, and they'll donate to it. I think it's amazing. Or people who at the rodeo will come and they'll do multiple shifts even because they think, hey, this is just a great thing to support. I'm always blown away. And your support makes a huge, huge impact. So if you're a parent of a student, yeah, be encouraged that you're a part of a church that values them so, so much. And it may not seem like a big deal to you. It may not seem like, oh, like, you may think like, hey, I really want to support this next generation. How can I do that? It may not seem like a big deal if you say, yeah, I'm going to go to the soup lunch and give, you know, $5 for soup. Or I'm going to go to the barbecue. Or I'm going to go to the auction. Or I'm going to buy something at the auction. Like, it may not seem like a big deal, but it makes a huge, huge difference. Over the years, I've come up with a couple rules of how I do youth ministry. And one of those rules is this: no one ever misses out on a weekend with Jesus because of money. It's one of my rules. No one ever misses out because of money. Like, we'll make it work. And the reason why we can sponsor students, and students maybe if they can't afford it, they can still come, is because of your generosity and your support at these fundraisers. So be encouraged that it may not seem like a big deal, but because of that, we can allow students to come to these events, even if they normally couldn't afford it, and have an amazing experience with Jesus. And usually what's really crazy is, with almost without fail, the students that get sponsored to come are the students who have like just the most amazing weekend with God. It just further proves that like no one should miss out because of that. No one should miss out because of that. We even have students, those students who couldn't afford to come to these events but came anyway and had awesome experiences with God are now pursuing ministry callings on their life. Which I think is so special, that people may not have even known them, may not have even known that, hey, yeah, they just thought, hey, I'm going for lunch. I'm going to pay to go to lunch. And that sort of makes a massive impact. That sort of generosity makes an impact on a student's life who has now felt that impact and does not want to do that for other people. So your generosity makes a huge, huge impact. And honestly, just seeing the joy from people in the church when they see young people, and they see the students in church and serving and working together, I just love it. And so thank you so much for your support, and I've never had to question your value of our youth ministry. But that's number two. You can invest in the next generation by supporting them. And thirdly, and this is the bigger one I want to look at, is attitude. Attitude. 1 Timothy 4:12 is a pretty well-known verse, especially when you're talking about someone who's younger or students and that sort of thing. It's Paul talking to Timothy, and it says this: "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." It's a pretty well-known verse. And so right in that verse, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's telling him this as an encouragement. And so Timothy was a young guy, obviously, as we can see from the verse. He was raised by two amazing women, his mom, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, which is two powerhouse women. Paul would talk about how much of an encouragement they were, and he talked so highly of them. And so Timothy was educated by these two women, and then he was thought of so highly in his community, in his town, that Paul even heard of him. So even though he was young in his town and people would respect him, Paul heard of him and thought high enough of him and thought that those people were right, that he invited him along on his missionary journeys and eventually even sent him out on his own. And that's what we see here. And so Timothy, even though he was respected in his town, when you go somewhere else, it's harder to witness, it's harder to reach people. And then on top of that, he was much younger than the people he was trying to witness to. And so he must have been facing opposition, so much so that Paul says to him, "Hey, look, don't let the fact that they are looking down on you or maybe thinking less of you because you're young impact your ability to impact people. Like, you can set an example for them no matter what. You can set an example for them even though you're younger." And too often, we miss the part at the end where it says, hey, set an example for believers, for all the believers. Too often we can think, oh yeah, like, hey, yeah, if you're young, set the example for people who are younger than you, right? Like, hey, you're a youth leader, you can set an example for the teenagers. You're a teenager, set an example for the preteens. You're a preteen, set an example for the kids. But Paul tells Timothy, hey, set an example for everyone, showing us that no matter what your age is, you can be an example to all believers, to all people. And we have some students in our youth ministry who can set an example for me even in certain areas of their life. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy here. He's saying, hey, look, doesn't matter that you're younger, you can still set an example for other people. And Timothy must have been facing that opposition because it's even true today. A lot of times we don't like listening to people who are younger than us, right? I'm 31 now, and I already find myself sometimes when someone younger says something to me or suggests something, and I think, I've been doing this a long time, man. Like, what are you going to tell me, right? We do that. I'm only 31. It's like, the older I get, it's only going to get worse. But we do that, right? We do that. It's like, oh, like, someone could say something, oh, what about this? And you're like, you're pretty new to this, right? Like, we've tried that. Doesn't work. Like, you'll learn. You know, one day you'll learn. You'll get it, right? We catch ourselves doing that. And we think, okay, yeah, whatever. And I know that there's sometimes where people can come in, whether they're younger or older, and they think they know more than they do, and they come across as arrogant. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. Because for here, Timothy is well-educated. He was a great upbringing from people who were educated and well-versed. Great examples of the faith. He was trained by Paul, arguably, like, the who else would he want to learn from? Like, he is well-educated. He has a great standard set for him. And still people are like, yeah, but he's young. Like, you're young, Timothy. Like, you don't know. You don't know what life is yet. When life hits you hard, then come talk to me. It's like, okay. But he can still set an example. So when I say we can invest in young people by our attitude, what I mean is we can't just write off or look down on someone just because they're younger than us. We can't think, okay, there's nothing I can learn from them. Like, they don't really know. We can't do that. And one of the things that really, really upsets me is when teenagers get treated unfairly just because they're teenagers. I mean, when I was a teenager, it would drive me nuts when I go to a restaurant with my friends, and we'd be like waiting to get a table, and then we'd be waiting like 15 minutes, and a group of adults comes in, no reservation, no nothing, and they walk in, and then they come in and sit before us. It's like, what? You know that we're going to pay. Like, we're not going to just do free. Like, I've literally been on talking with people when we're planning things for youth events, and I'm saying, okay, this is how many guests we're going to have, and that sort of thing, and they're like, yeah, but they're teenagers, right? Like, it's like, well, they don't count? Like, they're paying. Like, it's, you know? And I think sometimes teenagers get such a bad rap, and they get treated poorly, maybe subconsciously, just because they're teenagers. We see it right now with COVID, and the cases going up in the summertime when the beaches were packed. What did you hear? It's all the young people at the beach. It's like, well, there's more than just young people there. Like, everyone goes to the beach. Like, the beach is not a young person place. Like, everyone goes there. Or if something gets broken, say you're at work or there's a window broken or something like that, it's like, oh, it's probably some kids. Like, you don't know that. Like, could have been anyone. Like, you don't know. Or it's a common thing, and it's a joke around youth pastors. If something breaks in the church, blame the youth. It was the youth who did it. Sometimes it is. But it's it must have been the youth. Must have been the teenagers. Must have been them. It's like, well, we don't know that. They get a bad rap sometimes. I want to make this clear, though. I'm not saying this from a part or from a place of, hey, I think that our church treats teenagers poorly. I think the exact opposite. Like I said before, I think that our church supports them and invests in them so deeply, which is so amazing. But I think sometimes, just in general, subconsciously, we can look down on someone or treat someone differently because they are younger or because they are a teenager. And I think we need to be careful about that. And we have some amazing teenagers that are a part of our church. And let me give you an example. As Pastor Mark was talking about, the church parking lot was something that we have been wanting to kind of deal with for a while, but it was just such a big job, right? It was like, oh, I don't want to, this is going to be brutal. Like, I don't want to go out and do this. Like, you know, and we talked about, okay, well, some of the staff will go out there and we'll work on it and we'll do some things. And I kind of thought, like, I think I had told one of the youth about it, and they kept asking about, oh, how's it going? Have you worked on it yet? Have you done it yet? And part of me, I was getting annoyed. I'm like, you know what, man, I'm pretty busy, okay? I got stuff going on. And I was kind of like, not like bad, but I was like, well, do you want to help? And he says, sure. It's like, oh, okay, sounds good. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll ask some other people too. And I'm always careful about asking youth to do things because I don't want youth to be viewed as like a workforce in the church because they're a part of the church. They have more value than just like what they can lift or push or whatever. And so I thought, okay, I'll ask some people. And you know what was amazing? This is not a fun thing. This is like, hey, do you want to come and like be bending over for hours and dig out weeds? Like, it's not fun. It's not like I can make that sound good. Like, I can make a lot of things sound good. I can't make that sound good. I could be like, hey, we're going to be painting. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have pizza. We'll crank some tunes. It's going to be really good. Like, I can make a lot of things sound good. I can't make that sound good, right? I can't do it. It's impossible. I'm like, hey, do you want to come and like dig out weeds for like 6.5 hours on this day? You want to wake up early for you in summertime? Like, we'll give you some pizza. Like, you know? And you know what was amazing? Every single kid I asked said yes. Every single one. To the point where I thought, okay, who am I going to ask next? When this person says no, who am I going to ask? Who am I going to ask? And every single one said yes. I'm like, well, I better stop asking because we don't have enough tools for everyone. Like, we don't have enough, like, digging tools. Every single one said yes. And they came, and it's not fun. Like, at lunchtime, we're talking, like, how you guys doing? And they're like, this sucks. I was like, yeah, it does. Like, this is not good. And they were like, by the end, they're like, yeah. I'm like, thank you guys so much. And they're like, yeah, no problem. They're just so tired, right? They're like, yeah, okay, yeah, no problem. See you later. And I realized at the end of the day, like, we still have a full day of this. Like, there's another day, at least, of work on this part. We only did the front half. So, like, oh, man, like, there's no way they're coming back. Like, there's no shot. Like, there's just no shot. And so I left it for a few days, and I thought, it was almost as a joke. We had a little group chat, and I said to them, so who wants in for round two? And I'm thinking, like, no way. And now, like, even if I did trick them the first time, and they got there, and they were like, this sucks. Like, why did I come to this? I can't trick them again. There's no way. Like, they know that this is terrible. So I'm thinking, they're not saying yes. I say, hey, who wants in for round two? And every single person said yes. Except one who had a dentist appointment and couldn't make it, but tried to talk to his parents about, okay, can I come for this time? It's amazing. And then it was even better. I thought, okay, we're missing one person. Let me ask someone else to help. And the first person I asked said, okay, sure. I think that's so amazing. All said yes. And it was terrible. Again, like, it wasn't fun. and they're out there and they're working and they're like sweating. And then some of the kids are working and they're calling their moms to bring them Tylenol off of their back because like they're just hunched over, but they're still going. Like they're still going. I think it's amazing that they would do. And the thing that's so cool is that they're not getting anything out of this. It wasn't like, hey guys, like someone told us that if we do this, that they're gonna do this for us. Or if we do this, we're gonna get this for the youth group or whatever. It was, they saw the value in doing it because this is their church, because they're a part of it, and because you make them feel a part of it. So they all said, yeah, okay, that sounds good. And they came and did it. Here's my big ask, to wrap up here. Here's my big ask. More than ever, students need an extension of our grace, more than ever. Because of COVID, they've missed out on important life events that we still remember years later. They missed out on proms, on graduations, on the ending to their sports season they worked so hard on. Maybe they were in dancing or gymnastics or some kind of art program where they missed their whole concert or whatever because of COVID. They worked so hard, they lost out on it. Their end of their school year last year was cut short, all online. This year, it's a whole new format for school. It's got to be very different, very challenging. More than ever, they need an extension of our grace. They missed out on things like History Maker and summer camps that they would look forward to all year long. Gone. So my ask is that we wouldn't allow our view to be shaped by their youth or by their age, but we would celebrate them for facing and dealing with all these new challenges that we didn't have to go through. And this is speaking to myself too. Because I think sometimes already, again, I catch myself thinking if a student says, oh, I'm tired because of this, or I had this, or I'm dealing with this, and I think, oh, back in my day, like when I was a teenager, I didn't have the internet, I couldn't just do this, I couldn't just do that. And I catch myself doing that. And the reality is it's true. We had to face things that they never had to face. But they're also facing things that we never even would have dreamed of facing, especially now with COVID and a pandemic. So my ask is that we show grace. When we see a group of teenagers at McDonald's, they're being a bit loud, maybe a bit obnoxious, that we'd show grace because there's a lot of worse places they could be. When we see a group of teenagers struggle to remember to distance, that we would show grace because we'd be reminded that, you know what, this is pretty new to them and they are desperate for community after being separated from all their friends for so long. It's hard for them. It causes anxiety, that we'd show grace to them. That we would show grace when we're communicating about who's causing problems, that we wouldn't say, oh, I bet you it was the youth. I bet you it was some teenagers. Oh, it's all their fault. It's all their fault. That we would show grace in how we communicate. We may have a lot more life experience and a lot more wisdom, but that doesn't mean there's nothing we can learn from our students or students in general. Timothy had things to show and teach and be an example to, and so do young people today. I want to thank you all for listening to me and hearing me out, and I had hoped that you would take these things to heart. And again, this is not coming from a place of me feeling like, oh, our church doesn't support or our church doesn't believe or they don't have a good attitude. Again, I couldn't think further from that at all. I think it's an amazing, amazing environment. But I think sometimes in general, subconsciously, we can discount or write off someone just because they're younger than us. And I'm so thankful that our church is a place that believes and supports the next generation. I'm so thankful for all of you, for our pastor, Pastor Mark, and our board who believes and invests in our students and in their lives and wants the best for them and doesn't just treat them as like second-class church members, but active parts of the body. So next time you think, hey, how can I make an impact? Or am I really even helping the next generation? Next time you, when we're allowed, come down for a soup lunch or a fundraiser and you think, oh, it's no big deal, it actually is a huge, huge impact. And that makes a big, big difference in students' lives. And you may not ever see it, but it does. I promise you it does. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that we can gather as your church. Thank you that we can be a part of the body, that every part of us, every part of the body has a different function, has a different talent, as a different strategy, but God, we're all part of one body. God, I thank you for the teenagers in our church, the kids, the young adults, the preteens, the adults, the seniors, that we all are working together for the same thing. We all have the same goal and the same target. God, I pray for all of us that we'd be reminded to show grace to students, that we'd extend grace when we see things and when we question things, that we would show grace to them, understanding the challenges that they are facing. God, I thank you for this church, for this group of people who believe in the next generation. It's so clear that we do and that we support it and that we invest in it. And I'm so thankful for that. So God, I pray as we go about our weeks that we be reminded of these things. Thank you for the ability that we have to meet and gather like this, whether in person or online. God, we love you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Go enjoy some less smoky air outside.